You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
They could have killed somebody.
I don't think there were a ton of other paths to take on that.
Well, it's creative.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Welcome to the round table. Joining us in studio, the CEO of Civic Action, Sivan Pelvetsian. Hello, Sivan.
Hello, guys.
Also, the host of the Morning Rush on CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll Show, as well. Fridays on News Talk 1010, as well as Coast to Coast, Bill Carroll.
And CEO of Bill Carroll, nothing.
Core.
Oh, Bill Carroll. I was like, ooh.
Actually, more vice president. Sylvie's in charge of that.
That's very true. I've seen how that household works. But that's okay.
The man does not lie.
You can be an employee in that situation.
Amen.
Let's talk about the education minister. I think this is the most passionate and most candid I've heard Stephen Lecce in quite some time. He is talking and reacting, of course, to now the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation ramping up their job action. Here's what he told us in the last half hour or so.
It's frustrating because, you know, QP fault workers accepted it, but yet that deal was unacceptable for OSSTF, and the fault line there was compensation. And I just think it is regrettable. So, look, I don't want to make this about the personal, the cult of personality. I don't care about the people involved. I care about the kids who are impacted by strikes and by unions escalating each and every day.
Sivan, I asked him, you know, do you feel that these unions are, for lack of a better term, ganging up to take their vengeance out upon this government no matter what? And he said, listen, it does seem like there's an end game. He wouldn't elaborate on what that end game or end goal was. My feeling is it's going to be a strike and they're going to try to make this government look as bad as they possibly can. I don't know if you share that opinion.
This is certainly not ideal when so many contracts are all due at the same time, right? Because it's just a snowball that rolls down a really ugly hill. And the fact that so much of this negotiations is now done in public, you know, social media has made even those who sit, you know, close to or at the table able to communicate what's happening in live time. So the emotions are high with the two parties that are involved. Clearly, as parents, the emotions are high as well. I remember sitting on Sunday night before the potential QP strike, wondering close to 9 p.m. whether my kids were coming to school to work with me the next day. So there's an anxiety level that ramps up, especially with the little kids, the elementary school kids. And when it's the work to rule, which involves not doing report cards, which fortunately we just got, and not doing emails about your kids' progress, it starts to cut. When it's a full strike, it cuts right to the bone. So the emotion we heard from the minister's remarks as he called in on the show with you just earlier, I think speaks to his position of where he's sitting with the high intensity. But that high intensity emotion is spread across all the stakeholders and parents as well.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, you had the union head stop short of calling him a liar, but it got pretty close. He said he was full of untruths and spin. He basically said, you know, this government is spending money on everything else where teachers are still well under the rate of inflation, which of course is spin in its own right. Where do you see this going now? We're only a few days away from this job action being ramped up by the high school teachers?
Well, I think, first of all, Premier Ford has himself a good minister there. He's come across as willing to compromise, and he's a good communicator. And when you hear him getting angry, you kind of feel like, well, he's already tried. But I think the union believes when you have a conservative government, you're going to have a lot of sympathy from the media and the public kind of built in already. So they feel like they can squeeze a little harder than they would with other governments. Not that they haven't squeezed previous Liberal governments as well. This is just what they do. But I think they feel that it's an easier path to victory for them, and they'll have the public and the media on their side. So they're squeezing even harder. I think he's offered up some pretty decent compromises. They don't seem to want to budge. But let me ask you a question, though. I understand a work to rule when they say we're not going to do extracurricular activities. Okay, it's a choice whether or not you coach the kids' basketball team. But when we're talking about administrative duties, this is part of your job. That's not work to rule. That is withholding services you're paid for. And this kind of system where people are allowed to withdraw their services instead of striking, it only works when you can have pressure on both sides, right? So they both have a reason to give in. What the government needs to do is say, you know what? We're not going to pay you then as much as we normally. We're going to start withholding your pay if you don't do your job, because it's their job to do report cards. And you're right, my kids just got theirs, so that won't be a problem right away. I don't know that we'll notice much of it administratively. I think that part's just a PR exercise, too, to say, look, we tried work to rule. It did nothing. Now we're going out. This is on as soon as Christmas is over, full-blown strike, no matter what the government offers.
You think they're going to wait past the Christmas holidays?
I think we're pretty close now, so I wouldn't be surprised, but maybe. I mean, listen, the last time we got a work to rule, what was it, a week in, and we started here. That's it. Didn't work. We're walking out. It was the shortest work to rule I've ever seen, so maybe we'll see that again. You could be right. We could be out by this time next week.
Which everybody, every parent is probably thinking, oh, fantastic. A full month with the kids. We factor Christmas in as well. I mean, it's lovely, kids.
Don't worry. Pays for the babysitting, right? Somebody's got to stay home from work.
Your mom and dad love you. That's what I'm saying, kids.
That's right.
They don't. They don't want their own time at all.
We're building a fort today out of unpaid bills. The Ford government saying last year that here in the province, electricity ratepayers wouldn't be on the hook for any costs because of canceled deals. Turns out that not so much the case. The progressive conservative government saying earlier this week they had actually set aside $230 million to pay for the cancellation of 750 green energy contracts. But for good reason, says the premier.
That is a waste of taxpayers' dollars, isn't it?
No. I'm so proud of that. I'm proud that we actually saved the taxpayers $790 million when we canceled those terrible wind turbines.
So, Siobhan, is this a case of, you know, during an election cycle that it's more than likely going to cost you money, and then you'll go with the short-term sting for the long-term gain once you're actually in power? Or is this a case of not really knowing what was going to happen until you inherited the castle?
I think for me, this is a sign when the election was underway and the role that climate change was in the dialogue, right, the public dialogue, and the last federal election showed us it's actually increased significantly over the last 18 months. People are really concerned about the state of the climate. We saw the strikes around the world, little Greta from Sweden, Coldplay. And so it might be that this is a hangover effect of something that resonated 18 months ago that may not resonate the same way today. That's point one. Point two, a month ago, Minister Bethlen Falvey from Treasury Board very proudly shared that the government had found about $153 million in end-of-year discretionary spending, stuff that you didn't really have to buy, that March Madness stuff, and very proudly said that's $153 million of savings. A month later, when the premier said we're going to spend $230 million, you know, to sort of save a longer amount, it jars it negatively as a message there. And anytime you're ripping up contracts with the business community, that sends a signal to the business community around the lack of stability that many are looking for. So it may have been a point that made sense 18 months ago. It's not as easily delivered or accepted today.
You feel the same way, Bill?
Well, it is a tougher sell, for sure. I mean, I said this about the federal conservative government. Mm-hmm. You don't have a viable climate plan. You're going to have more and more trouble as every teenage voter gets old enough to vote. It's going to be trickier. And as more and more people who are well past 18 are starting to really worry about the environment, this is tough. Long term, listen, these windmills were not the answer. They give you electricity when you don't need it. They don't give it when you do need it. We're paying other jurisdictions at the height of this thing to take our electricity. Probably will save money in the long run. But I think every government now has to sit down, show they're serious about the environment. And yeah, you could convince me that, for example, nuclear might be a better option for electricity in the future, and it's not wind. But you're going to have to really explain that to people. And it's not an easy thing to do, because when you talk about the environment, there's a lot of fear-mongering that's going on, too.
Which I would also just add, that's why on a campaign trail, you don't just say you're going to scrap something and say it's not going to cost you anything. You have to be, unless you're sure. And it doesn't seem they were sure, and now they've got a little egg on their face because there's a price tag attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about garbage bins, because he doesn't love that. It turns out the City of Toronto has been giving ratepayers rebates when it comes to the small and medium bins. Those rebates are going to be slashed, meaning you're going to be on the hook for more money if you have a small and medium bin. And there are some out today saying, well, hold the phone here, wait a minute, why would you not be giving these people bins for free if they use the small and medium ones? Because obviously they're doing their part and doing their best. Do you agree?
I'm actually a fan of user fees. In other words, the stuff that we use, we pay for. The amount we use, we pay for. And generally, that's one of the best ways to change behavior. If you run the tap and you know that your bill will be no matter what you use, your bill will be the same. It's not going to change how much water you run. And garbage works the same way. So there's been a rebate that the city has laid against bins that they can no longer afford to pay. Right? So that has to come off. And what that means is the true cost of garbage collection is going to be incurred by the people that do it. 75% of what sits in our trash doesn't need to sit there anyway, right? We could recycle it better. It goes in the green bin. So I hope this is an opportunity for us to change our behavior and our relationship to garbage.
Bill, I've got two extra large recycling bins, one large recycling bin, a compost bin, and an extra large garbage bin. I can't win.
Wow, there are only three of you in that house.
That's like $2,000.
And a dog. I mean, come on. That's practically four.
Have you noticed, though, since we order everything online, all I do is cut up cardboard boxes? The junk I'm throwing out.
It's a part-time job in my house.
I know. It's tenfold what it used to be. You know what? The same argument as the windmills. People are all in on this stuff. My kids, recycling, man, they look at me dirty when I, that doesn't go in this bin? Okay, sorry. I mean, it was a mistake. Just trying to be convenient. That's fine, but I had to read the story three times to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. All of this is okay, except that the largest size bins gets the smallest increase?
Yes.
Okay. How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
This is like the federal liberals' policy of, we're going to charge you for gasoline so you'll stop driving, but don't worry, we'll give you the money back and in advance if you fill out the forms. You know, either you want to change my behavior or you don't. So if you want to punish me for using larger bins, make me pay for the larger bin and make it cheaper for the smaller bin. Is this about money or is it about changing my behavior? And if it's about both, it's still the right way to do it. So someone must have made a math mistake in this.
No, it's the truth. Somebody needs to pick a lane. It hasn't been fully approved yet, so we'll see how far it goes from there.
Yeah, fix that.
Police in Ontario reminding the public to avoid dialing 911 to report non-emergency situations after what we think is probably the best case ever. If you wanted publicity for a story, this is your poster woman.
The ride that was supposed to show up for me this morning did not. And I don't know how you guys work with services in terms of that, because I'm in a taxi right now, but it's not going to get me to the station on time for my train to board at 9:45.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're in a taxi cab and you think you're going to be late for your train ride at Union Station?
Yeah.
And so what would you like an officer to do?
We think, Savon, that maybe Chair Girl was late for an out-of-town gig.
Totally. That was my first thought as well.
She was meeting up with Champagne Bottle Guy.
Yeah. So they're forming their own club of random internet stars.
Oh, my gosh.
Entitled or too dumb?
A little column A, a little column B. And kudos to that 911 operator who doesn't lose her bazongas and is able to very rationally ask a question in a very calm 911 lady voice around, is this really what you're calling for? I cannot believe someone thinks that. And yet, how many people a year call 911 for stupidity and not for the emergency response that is needed? She's likely not alone in this category.
Yeah, Bill, she actually thought she was going to get an emergency escort or ride so that she could get to her train on time.
Sure, that's how it works with the police. You know, last time my house was broken into, the alarm went off, and I got back from Quebec City before the police arrived. That's how busy they are. So you really think they're going to come and pick you up because you're late for the train? In Ottawa, where our LRT, the new train system, is always late, 911 would be ringing off the hook. Can we start to find these people? Seriously. There has to be consequences for this. You have to know better. I don't believe there's anyone who actually believes 911 is the right number to call for that. We got to crack down on it.
Well, I can assure you we don't do that.
Bill, Savon, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.